Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
Well, if this is not your first rodeo with the scripture, either of those, you may be stuck on thinking that people are the trees and their actions are the fruits. But I want to play a little bit more with that metaphor, because most theologians, although they disagree on lots of things, agree that when Jesus was being complicated, it was because he wanted us to think a little deeper, and he didn't come to make it simple. So I want us to wrestle a little bit with these two texts. But before we do that, I thought I would ask you a question that would kind of bring us together first. And it's really a simple question, and there's no right or wrong answer. And I don't want you to shout it out to me. We're going to be a little bit of a fruit salad right now. I invite you to think about a fruit that you love. You've been invited to someone's home, and they bring out from the kitchen a fruit that you love. If you're not so sure, because you love them all, we probably could spend more time on if someone brings out a fruit that you don't like so much and you feel like you have to eat it because you're being a good guest. That's not what the conversation is. I wonder what one fruit is that you love. And then I want you to share it with the person. You're going to be a bit hungry in this service, but don't worry, hospitality's at the end. So, turn and share with your neighbor just your name, and hopefully they'll remember the fruit that you love after this 1 minute. Okay, come back to me. I know. Favorite fruit. Now you want to share your recipes. It gets quickly away from the Jeopardy answer. But in Canada, this is a tricky season for fruit, isn't it? The apples are going soft. You never know where will the orange that looks beautiful be dried up inside, or will it be watery? Our local fruits are still waiting to bloom. In fact, the grocery store can feel like a wilderness when you go in trying to make good choices, local choices, supporting, wondering how the stories of our choices affect farmers all around the world. So we hold this image, yearning for things we love, tasting fruit in the wilderness, and yet we bump up against despair, doubt, and the multiple stories of what it means for people to be in this Lenten time. And we've definitely encountered a few wolves in sheep's clothing, or been consuming some bad fruit in the wilderness for too long. Yet the wilderness is where we learn to discern. Being away from the things that have felt familiar invites us to listen differently. First we listen, then we hear a call, and we are discerning in real time the same way that you're making choices in the grocery store. And we've been given the gift of scripture to turn to, of our own relationship with Jesus, and the church and tradition of how to live and move and be in God's world. And over in the wilderness, we've been taught to look at the fruit. In fact, Sarah Bessie, her book, Field Notes from the Wilderness, she writes about how easily we label fruit. We want to look at the sticker and not just know where it came from, but we'd love to know if it's good fruit or bad fruit. But in our own life experience, we know that we recognize goodness through love. And that often what is labeled as bad fruit, what we experience in ourselves and our reaction of, oh, this isn't good, is disconnected from love. In fact, when we think about our theology and our history of the way we've talked about God, the way we have been taught about God, we can look at where the fruit is connected to love and where it's been disconnected. When we live from a place of unaffirming theology, a theology that excludes vulnerable people, that makes teenagers want to die, that estranges families and results in shame or self-loathing or cruelty at best, we know that this theology can also lead to division and war and murder and abuse and oppression at its worst. For some of us, this is the only air we know. Or we have run from acknowledging that it's part of our story. But this call to live and be in Christ's love is, we're not the first ones to wrestle with it as church. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that what the fruit is, he names us what they are. I could sing a camp song about it, but I think that's enough for a virtual recording. I don't think we need today. But sometimes we can overthink it, can't we? Aren't you a little bit tired of the mental and spiritual gymnastics that kind of require us to contort ourselves into believing anything other than the 9 qualities Paul lists is good fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And yet, we can live a whole lifetime wrestling with what it means to follow Jesus, and also we could embrace the fruit salad. We could watch out for joy. We could lean into peacemaking. When we find people who are patient and kind, we could pay attention when someone's teaching is increasing the goodness, not only in you, but in the world. We can notice it. We can taste it. Our hairs on our arms rise up when we bump into a lack of gentleness. We notice when there isn't self-control and more reactivity, especially in our interactions with those closest to us, maybe most especially among those whom we disagree. It matters if the fruit is present. If we talk and sing about unity but can't look for the fruits of it, how can we be at table together? How can we listen? Most of us are not interested in being discipled in outrage. And we sure don't need more selfish, impatient role models, do we? The world is not crying for more division and brokenness. Actually, I think we're pretty good, thanks. So we look for what's bringing life and flourishing into the world. In short, we look at the fruit. If the fruit of a movement or a community or a leader is more hatred, more division, less compassion, especially for those who aren't at the center of the conversation in politics, history, government, church, social services, and economics, we need to stop consuming or passing around the bad fruit. We reorient ourselves. That's what this time of Lent is about, that when we leave our familiar and are called into the wilderness, whether we go kicking and screaming or whether we have packed our bags to go there, we are invited to reorient ourselves. So I want you to go back to the taste of your favorite fruit for a minute. And I want you to think beyond just eating it, what it looks like, before you cut it open, before you taste it. What does it take to prepare it, to peel it? Even before that, to choose it. Whether you've grown it on your own tree, or you've received it as a gift, or you've been taught to pick it at the grocery store. I wonder who taught you to recognize good fruit. Who knew how firm a watermelon or a honeydew melon should be before you bring it home? Who showed you what color the pineapple should be turning from green to yellow so when you cut it open, it might be ready? Who picked an avocado from a tree for you because it was just ready? I wonder who it was. Because we need our good teachers in the wilderness. We need the ones who have served and walked ahead, who have stayed faithful, who share their doubts and their mistakes, and call us to continue to move on. Good teachers will always meet us in the wilderness. But how do you know what a good teacher looks like? Well, for too long, we have established that highly educated, white, Western, straight, powerful, married, able-bodied male voices were the primary and preferred teachers in the room. They have been the center of our texts, our education, and our understanding for a long time. When one way is elevated over others, they can have too much power or privilege. We can miss out on hearing the wisdom, the learning, or seeing the Christ light in others. If we're really going to pray today as we begin into this woven together in God's love, then it's helpful to remember the diversity of prayers and people of God. Dr. Soon Chan Ra writes, 50 years ago, if you were asked to describe a typical Christian in the world, you could confidently assert that person to be an upper middle class white person living in an affluent and comfortable suburb. But if you were to ask that question today, that answer would be more likely to be a young Nigerian mother living in Lagos, a university student in Seoul, South Korea, a teenage boy in Mexico City. European and North American Christianity is continuing to decline and change, while African, Asian, and Latin American Christianity is increasing dramatically. Global Christianity is non-white, has a diversity of image and music and story. And when we are lamenting our world, when we're not sure what to do next or what to pray, when we turn to Scripture, we hear the invitation to look for those good fruits. For the way of healing and peace ask us to move forward in honesty and wholeness. They ask us to pay attention to what is in front of us, what is ripe and ready. And they ask us to reorient the center of God's geography from the dominant, majority, powerful ones towards the ones that are sidelined and marginalized and ignored. To find ourselves where we really reside in the story, particularly to know where your story is in the midst of it. And if you have tuned me out because you're not sure where the sermon's going to go, or you feel like you already know what's happening, if you aren't even sure where you fit in the world anymore, you will know you're part of the majority in this place if you have the privilege of eating fruit from around the world, not in season. It was a learning for me. If your family has been historically at the center of everything from theological work to government to business to art, then we have been affected by this thing we call colonization. We have a community that has centralized one strong definition of good fruit. But Christ's good news is actually good for everyone. And if it isn't good news for someone who's not at the center of that story of power and privilege, then it actually isn't good news. Because you know what it's like to want to celebrate something and then feel kind of sick inside or worried that if you share that good news, others who haven't had that experience won't be able to understand. When we can't share our joys across life, it can separate us. And if we enjoy a lot of privilege, it's always connected to someone else. Whether we acknowledge it or not, whether it was our decision or not, this recentering involves the work of unlearning. So we look to our teachers today to help us with that. If we have been always told that our way of reading scripture or doing church or moving through the world is the right one or the scriptural one or the biblical one, we are reminded today that that is not always true. And don't mistake me. We all still belong. We're still beloved and capable and invited. And we make space to remember that privilege and power are rarely tools for discerning the truth. That this invitation for us this week, it's not just for those who have been silenced or oppressed. It's a gift for everyone. Just as growing pains hurt before the actual growth takes place, so it hurts to take apart parts of our story that have hurt others. For some, it's going to hurt like hell. But as followers of Jesus, we hold on to hope. The good fruit is in the hope for reconciliation, for life eternal for all, for the way of the kingdom of God here and now. God's work in the hope that one day we'll all appear on the other side of the river. We'll all be invited to bathe in the healing waters. And just like that, we will be made whole. I am not sure what steps to take, but I know it begins with truth-telling, with praise and lament. I know that it begins with looking at what books we're reading and who we're centering, that we balance our home space and our comfortableness with being challenged to see the world through another's eyes. We give thanks for musicians and poets and writers. Indigenous writer Caitlin Curtis, she's a citizen of the Potawatomi Nation. She writes, "If you've been formed by only one particular voice or experience or social location, then you're missing so much of what makes God beautiful and true and good and loving. I love and know and follow Jesus better when I'm listening to Black feminists and when I hear how a gay man from a Southern Baptist church learned to believe he was loved by God, and why I attend a community powwow. When I hear how a Haitian woman experiences God's faithfulness, and when I hear from first-generation believers, nursing mothers, and grieving husbands. When I hear from survivors of residential schools, cancer patients in chemotherapy treatment, carpenters, and gardeners. When I hear from people who are outside the gates, outside the usual power and leadership and privilege narrative. When we are in the wilderness together, we listen to each other differently. And some of the greatest theologians we'll meet are ordinary people who aren't even writing books or preaching or teaching at schools. There are grandmothers in prayer circles, our next door neighbors, our handbellers, our fellow wanderers in the wilderness. They are the ones that we are in contact and relationship with. The Bible nerds, the church rejects, our children, our friends, our midwives, those breathing with laboring women, and each of them has a story to tell about why they know and what they now know about God. Good fruit comes from hearing each other's stories. Good fruit allows people to flourish. And good teachers are needed now more than ever. Teachers that offer wisdom and teachers that hold space for the wisdom to emerge from the circle. this is an experience of being woven in God's love. It is different than the narrative of power. It shifts us. It changes us to live that love in the world. This weaving has begun by the children and youth, and you're invited throughout the week, whether you're praying with a partner for a week of guided prayer or every week, every day this week, opening your day to an email you'll receive that will have scripture and reflection. You will encounter some teachers in the wilderness this week. Truth tellers and elders, listen to the many voices singing God's goodness. Be brave enough to tune out the ones that seem to not be inviting you to flourish. And may our songs welcome what has been silenced and ignored for too long. For there is a whole choir out there, friends. There is a whole choir here.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.